said it was 102 degrees.
Okay.
A little bit of moving down there.
All right. Are you all set? I'd like to welcome everybody to the April 26th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education, and thank Mrs. Papenbarger and her staff for hosting our meeting tonight. Start out with a roll call, please.
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now if everyone will stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And next, I need a motion to adopt, to approve our agenda for the meeting tonight. Motion by Ms. Power.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next on our agenda, we have some employees of the month to recognize. So I would accept a motion to approve these three different employees. And then we'll have some discussion. Motion by Mr. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. You're on.
All right. So two of the three are here. So let's start with Krista. Krista, I always make you come up here and stand by me when I talk about you. So it's kind of embarrassing, but it's like my moment of fame for you. All right. So it's my pleasure to recognize you as Employee of the Month. And I'm going to read to everyone the reason you're here is not even that. Okay. So Krista Fannin is a special education aide in one of our MH units at Navin Elementary. She works tirelessly, is it easy to say, with a group of students with special needs. She treats each and every student with kindness and patience. Whenever you see Krista in the halls of Navin with her students, she always has a smile on her face and is engaged with each of her students. She has a difficult job of working with children with special needs and treats each of her kiddos as if they were her own. Krista is a wonderful part of the Navin team, and she is always trying new ways to encourage her students to do the best, their best. Krista is always going the extra mile to help out other teachers. She took the building laminating job when another staff member was sick, and she volunteers to take the outdoor duty for them as well. So Krista, thank you for what you do for our kids. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Lynn, you get the same pleasure.
Unless you did it first.
I know what to do. All
right. It's fairly painless, right?
Yes.
All right. Lynn Hamm. On top of doing a great job every day with students, Lynn is the type of employee that if she has any downtime, she likes to keep busy. Mm-hmm. One thing she has been doing is helping input data for the nurse since the beginning of the school year. She has also been helping with organizing books, clearing out papers from offices and cabinets, and anything else she has been asked to do. Lynn is a wonderful employee because she is always willing to help anytime anyone needs anything.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. And Lynn is at the high school?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I not say that?
I don't think you did.
Okay. I'm sorry. And then Crystal Rock, she's at from Creekview, who couldn't be with us tonight. She had another commitment. The statement on Crystal, I'd like to nominate Crystal because she is totally devoted to our students. She's very patient and deals with them with a sense of humor that makes their lives better. She often stays late to enter daily behavior into a computer program. She frequently does things for our staff without anyone knowing, for example, leaving candy in the lounge, baking for the team, and many other things. She is always willing to help others and fun to work with. So congratulations to Krista.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Just the normal thank you again, and then a roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, We have our presentation from Bunsold Middle School. Ms. Kaffenbarger, take it away.
Can we get this one first?
Yes. Yes.
I know she's not, their
yes.
community partner is unable to attend.
Yeah, so
sure, yes.
Our community partnership award goes to Holly's Weissig. I don't think that there's enough positive attributes for me to list to even start talking about the things that she does, but we have an Above the Influence program that she's helped me start here last year. Tomorrow she's bringing in breakfast for them, as well as bringing over some high school students to meet with them tomorrow morning and just talk about being Above the Influence and how that can impact their lives. So that goes, this goes to her, and we cannot thank her enough for being like the best community partner ever, ever, ever. So thank you on behalf of her.
Sure. Thank you, Holly.
Okay, so now it's me, right? So usually when I do these board presentations, we usually have a group of students come with us, right? Well, it's me and my group tonight to talk a little bit about what's been happening at Bunsold. And the reason is because what I wanted to do is to be able to kind of give an overview or a snapshot of some things that's been happening in the year about where we thought we needed to generate our emphasis. So when I started thinking about this and I started thinking about what's going on at Bunsold and how does this, you see, it's, to me, it's all of these pieces that need to fit together very nicely and mold into a completed puzzle so that we can provide the best support for our learners so that they can have achievement and growth and opportunities to move in their journey wherever that leads them after they leave us here at Bunsold Middle School. So when we started thinking about all of those pieces, and I'm sure that there's probably some that we've left out, but we're not going to focus on all these tonight, because if we did, we would be here for a long period of time. But instead, what we thought we would do is just kind of talk about some of the highlights of these things, but only focus really on two this evening. So when we started thinking about what makes Bunsold Bunsold and all the variety of ways we need to serve kids, it's tier one instruction, what's going on in the classroom. It's supporting their social emotional needs. You see mental health down there as well. That falls underneath that umbrella. You know, when you talk about meeting the needs of learners, what we're also talking about is sometimes there are barriers to their ability to learn that have nothing to do with their cognitive ability, but instead with the other barriers or outside, like social emotional, that create that barrier in place. So that's why we list mental health up there as well, and that social emotional. I don't know if you remember or not, it's one of the reasons why I love middle school. Middle school is rough for kids. There's a whole lot of things happening, but it's one of the reasons that I love being at the middle level, because we have so many opportunities to grab kids sometimes that are lost and can't quite figure out where they fit in the world, and hopefully guide them in a direction so they can figure out where it is that they want to go. So that's up there. MTSS is our multi-tiered system of support. That's our gap closing. That's what are we doing to help learners who have fallen through the cracks, to stop them from falling through the cracks and level them back up to get them where we need them to be so that they too can have that success in achievements and growth on their journey to create opportunities. So for us, it's like putting a puzzle together, and you notice that there are pieces missing. Those pieces missing is because we don't have all the pieces in place yet, but we are working to make sure that we have a completed puzzle so that we can provide the support for learners so that there are no gaps and are no cracks for them to be able to fall through, if that makes sense. So we'll start first with Mrs. Gross is our instructional coach here at Bunsold, and she has just joined us this year, and she's been a huge asset to us in supporting us in that tier one instruction as the instructional coach. So I felt it very appropriate to bring her in tonight to talk about the things that she's been doing in that tier one instruction and really the gap closing too for us for the multi-tier system support. So Mary, would you like this so that you can move it?
Okay, I'll give it a nod.
Okay,
I'll give
it a nod.
Hi, I'm Mary Gross, instructional coach, and I just want to share my MEVSD past. We moved here in 2010, and I taught 8th grade language arts for 5 years, and then I had the pleasure of working at early college for 2 years. And this is my first year in this position as instructional coach. And I want to highlight some of the shifts that we see in Tier 1 instruction at Bunsold. And the first is the workshop model that you've seen many showcases throughout the year, so you know the workshop model concept. It has a mini lesson, and then it has small group instruction. And here are some examples of some of our math teachers and what they're using for their workshop model. They have their established protocols. They're reinforcing our branding camp, which we will get to in a second. But the workshop model certainly increases student engagement. Another shift that we see. Another shift, and again, here we have some pictures of that workshop model in action. It's small group. Direct instruction has not gone away, but that direct instruction now is in a small group of students to increase that engagement. Also, a shift, I have a quote here. When I think about the next two shifts in instruction at Bunzl's, I think about this quote about empowering learners. There's kind of a glare. Can you read? So if you could take a look at this quote, I'll give you a second to read it. When I think about empowering learners with their unique start and then getting them to their unique destination, I think about the powerful combo of two things: increased and purposeful use of technology, and then assessment and data to drive instruction. And the shift that I see at Bunzl this year is that the staff is becoming more clinical in their approach to instruction because they have the technology, and we have a diagnostic tool that can tell teachers where students are, their unique start. And then we also are using that technology, the workshop model, to move them to their unique destination because all learners are different. So I think about our clinical approach to interpreting data and then our use of technology. And I wanted to feature some of the technology that we're using this year. We have Schoology, and I certainly have seen an increased use of Schoology here at Bunzl's. I know that the high school uses it. I know that Creek uses it quite a bit. And I think Bunzl is now kind of has more in the game in terms of use of Schoology. It's a fantastic LMS. And some of the other resources that we're using to better suit and meet student needs. Another shift that I see is the collaborative nature at Bunzl's, and we have started something called PD Spotlight. So professional development, I think the best professional development really is in-house. We have some amazing teachers, and why not feature those teachers? So we have our PD Spotlight, and we were able to showcase them at our Wednesday morning prime time once a month, the PD Spotlight. So, for example, we had Mike Young talk about standards-based grading, Daniel Sakamoto talk about tools and tricks using Google and Schoology. We also have some math teachers and some ISs that talks about the workshop model. And then up here you see that fantastic little Snapchat filter of Lisa Nemeth, and she presented high-yield vocabulary strategies. So a shift that I have seen this year is just that collaborative nature and that willingness to share ideas to move the staff along in terms of improved instruction.
So the next piece of this is when the pillars of our learning-centered practices came out, moving forward to universal design for learners, moving towards personalized learning, and knowing that our charge is, 2020, we are going to be there, mastery learning, competency-based education, personalized learning, full tilt. One of those pillars is vision and identity. And this was something that took me a while to get off the ground, because I was struggling. I was just struggling to wrap my head around the whole process. Diane's smiling because, I'll tell you why, because she's like, oh, wait a minute. I know, Michelle, you'll be ready to talk about this like 2 days from when we talk about it. And I said, Diane, remember, I was a mathematician and when I first started, and so that's the way my brain works. I start quick. So it took me a while to process. Once I figure it out and I'm comfortable in my own brain, then I'm ready to jump on board. In my own brain that I'm comfortable to lead it. I'm always ready to jump on board. Maybe I should say that. Better. I'm always ready to jump on board. It just takes me a while to figure out how to get it going. Maybe that's the way I would say. So we started with vision and identity, and I'm going to let Mrs. Lafaro talk about that, the assistant principal. It started clear back actually last summer when we pulled our building leadership team together. We'll talk a little bit about our journey and then talk about how we came up with our brand and where we're at right now in that process.
So this started, this was just a really cool process to go through. So we had our building leadership team meet in the summer, and we kind of went through like what the habits of mind were, and then we let them talk in small groups about what do we want our learners to leave Bunzl with. And And so there was discussion around that, and we use Poll Everything. I don't know if you guys have ever used that, but you can click in on your phone or whatever and figure out what it is. And so from there, you'll see the little heads here. Those were all of the habits of mind around, and the little green things are the votes, right? And so you watch them kind of come in, and they tally. And so from there, what came out of that was listening with understanding and empathy, thinking independently, remaining open to continuous learning, and persisting. That is a lot of stuff to say, but the ideas behind it are fantastic. So from there, we were like, we got to narrow this down. So then we have some discussion. So we were like, pick some words out of there that are going to really highlight what we want. So then, you know, teachers are yelling, empathy, awareness, accepting, kind of went through this whole thing. Someone's like, we need to get mindful in there. So that is how CAMP was born, C-A-M-P, because we chose accept, collaborate, persist. Amy Holland came up with that, and then that's when Kate Conroy was like, well, we need to be mindful as well. So we came up with the acronym CAMP. So we were very excited. You can see this little foreshadowing once it comes. So from there, what we did is we threw this back out to the school and the teams, and we said, okay, so we want each team to create a logo, talk about what the habits of mind are, kind of go through the same process we did with the teachers, create a logo, make a little video about why your logo is whatever it is, and then from there, you submit it, and then we have the whole school vote, teachers, staff, everybody, kids, everybody voted, and then at our first pep assembly is when we revealed. So it was a big build-up to all of it.
So one of the things that was really important, and this is the part where I told you sometimes I'm a little slow on how I'm going to process. I couldn't wrap my head around, when you talk about vision and identity, I couldn't figure out how was it that we were going to involve the students. Because really, that was important. Mm-hmm. So we started out with generating and grabbing a hold of the staff first, or the building leadership team. So we started out with that, because it couldn't be just my idea. It had to be something that came from all of us. And then what was that next step to involve? What was that next step then? I thought you were laughing at me. This is what happens all the time. And then just simply figure out how can we get the students involved? And that's where I struggled. And I think probably that's why I was a little slow getting started. Because in a building of 800-some kids, how do we give every student a voice? So that's why when we started out with the academic teams, and then the teams divided, and as you said, into smaller groups, and then those groups submitted as a team, and then the team voted, and then whichever one came out of each academic team went into the submission for the whole school to vote, is how that went about. So we got there, it just took us a while to do so.
I think it was worthwhile, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think I would change anything about the way we did it, because it was just really, just some reflecting on it. It was just such a cool process.
So the picture here on the left, which is very difficult to see, but it was a big, 5, 4, 3, 2, we were unveiling, the kids didn't know which one was going to be the one that was selected. That's not the video you're going to see. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see me doing that. But it was a lot of fun, and it was a big ta-da at our first pep assembly, and then that's how CAMP was born. But the video that you're going to see, and so the video that you're going to see is the video that was submitted from the academic team that we voted on, and that's the video that you're going to see right now. So,
and that'll be good on that.
In the beginning, there was darkness.
But due to 6 friends, a fire was ignited.
When people think of a camp, they think of a campfire.
We put the pot inside of the fire because whenever anyone thinks of a Marysville logo, they think of the line.
We wrote Ignite Your Mind because when you walk into Bumstead, your mind is lit up, along with the rest of your day, due to amazing faculty and students.
We decided to incorporate camp because Bumstead is a unique school.
We use collaboration, acceptance, mindfulness, and persistence to make our logo.
Because Bunsell is such an amazing school.
Thank you, and we hope you enjoyed our logo.
So, right now is we have our logo, and as you walk around the building, you'll start to, you'll see there's each side of the building as you enter in. Some of our students in the Fab Lab course used a CNC router and created the logo. There are also, we've taken that, and on either side of the building in the main hallway, there's a big M with the camp logo in the middle. And so you see all the paw prints and everything all over the wall. That's our BMS Pride Wall. Mm-hmm. And so kids make their way to the Pride Wall because their teachers have caught them doing something that falls along collaborate, accept, mindful, and persistent. And we make that announcement every Friday at school over the PA. Mm-hmm. We take their picture, we tweet it out, and so it starts. That wall starts empty at the beginning of the year, and then as the year progresses, we end up filling that up. Teachers have done some pretty unique things with the logo as well. They've taken the camp logo by their academic team, and they've had, through technology, the students' names of all of the members of their team are embedded in the camp logo. So mm-hmm. we have it. Now we're in the process of becoming and living it and getting our learners to understand the importance of those soft skills, mm-hmm. that accepting and being mindful. And for me, and persisting, I guess, but for me, I spent a lot of time talking and in conversation with kids about accepting and being mindful. Be mindful of how you treat others. Be mindful of how your actions and your decisions and your choices affect not only you, but everyone else around you. Be willing to accept the differences and the uniqueness that each of us have, and instead of tearing each other down, throw each other up. That's that social emotional support that I think is so critical for our kids. So that's where we're at in our journey. Those are just two of the pieces. Like I said, I could talk about a lot of other things, but we'd be here all night long. I'm very proud of what we do here at Bunsell. I have a great staff. Have a great collaborative team. This is just a small piece of that, and I'm fortunate. So Bunsell is Bunsell, not just because of me, but because of the people that make us up, including the learners as well. So thanks.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I love that logo.
I know. I love that logo too.
Yeah.
And I just love the process that you use, the way that you involve the students at every level, pretty much. Great.
Let's see if you're thinking
very much. Okay, next up, public participation.
Sorry,
I believe we have one. Okay, so we have, we'll start out with Mr. Jared Weiss. And so, Jared, if you would state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes to share your comments.
Jared Weiss, and my address is 17919 Bear Swamp Road, Marysville.
Come on up.
So, former teacher, so this is... My name is Jared Weiss, and I, along with Chris Schmank, am the co-chair of Citizens for Schools, better known as the Levy Committee. Tonight we'll be discussing whether or not to place two issues on the ballot in November, and whether it's prudent to make a current millage rate permanent. In the 2013 levy campaign, the district made the promise there would be no new money requests until at least 2020, and this renewal will keep the district in the black until 2022. the district is moving forward and keeping promises. The first issue would renew the levy expiring in 2019 and would not provide additional revenue and does not raise taxes. The renewal is simply a status quo issue. We are protecting the rollback incentive and maintaining a low tax rate. State law has grandfathered this levy into new regulations, and as a community, we pay 10%, we receive a 10% rollback on the levy. That means we pay 10% less as residential taxpayer. However, if this levy were to expire, we would lose that 10% rollback incentive, and the replacement levy needed to generate the same amount of revenue would cause a tax burden shift of nearly $700,000 to the residents of the district. We cannot expect the residents of the district to shoulder this kind of tax burden when we have the opportunity to avoid it. Now, we support making this levy permanent because we believe the commitment to our students and to the future of our community is permanent. Marysville is growing, and the community grows, so will the district. Because of this growth, the financial need in the district will at least remain the same. So why not make permanent what we know is going to be needed? Making this issue permanent does not have adverse effects on the voice of the people. In fact, we believe the voice of the people has been clear for years now. We support our schools. Making the issue permanent is simply an affirmation from our community that we support our schools, our students, and our future. The second issue is simply to allow the funds from the bond fund to be transferred to the permanent improvement fund. So transferring millage from the bond fund to the PI fund will allow the PI fund to be self-sustaining, and the district can then use those funds into the general operating fund, freeing those monies to be used on vital school expenses while not increasing millage. So this is smart and efficient use of taxpayer dollars, and there's no tax increases. We believe these two issues are vital to the future of our schools and our community. These issues will not raise taxes. It does not increase revenue, and it makes smart financial choices. These issues demonstrate the permanent commitment our community has for our schools, our staff, and our students, and the future. So 2 years ago, my family and I moved to Marysville to find permanent roots. And we've already seen firsthand the fabric of this community is weaved in commitment and pride, and so we know the future's bright. We have four kids, 6, 4, 1, and 2 months. They're 366 days apart. It's not a joke. Our oldest child is in kindergarten, so for us, we look at it as the next 2 decades we are going to have kids in Marysville schools because we're not going anywhere. And we want our children to be where they can excel in one of the most successful and well-supported school districts in the state. And that's why I, and I know the members of the levy committee, support these levy issues because this is the future. It's our students, it's our kids, and it's our community. So thank you, and on behalf of Citizens for Schools, I urge your support on the community.
Thank you very much. I know. I appreciate all the time that you volunteer for that committee. Thank you very much. There's two other people that put their names on here, but I don't think the intent was to. Okay, that's good. So we are done with public participation, and next up we have Mr. Chivington with the High Point Report.
Good evening. Okay.
Hello.
All right. So, of course, we're all in the middle of our semester, busy working towards the end of the year, but have quite a few activities going on. Number one, the board approved 16 Marysville students to go out on conference trips, and one of them is the leadership conference down in Texas, and the balance of them will be going to the DECA conference in Atlanta. So 16 Marysville students will be attending that. We actually have 366 applications now. So we're really happy about the interest level. Also, Tammy Cooper has been working in the month of March about assigning interns. And so she assigned 8 interns out of 3 workers in March. So nice job there with her. And then as we wrap up the school year, the senior breakfast is May 23rd. We have the board has a work session on May 16th. Our convocation is May 23rd. And also, kind of a fun note, Dr. Smith, Amy Cooper, and myself will be presenting Marysville internship program to all of the colleges and universities in the state of Ohio. It's called the Ohio Cooperative Education Conference, and this year it's in Dublin. And so we'll be highlighting the Marysville school system and the internship program that schools. So we're doing some blocking and tackling with that presentation right now. But we'll be highlighting Marysville schools to all the colleges and universities in the state of Ohio that have cooperative education programs.
That is really exciting.
And of course, the levy goes up here in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So the board will be anxiously waiting that evening on May 8th. Mm-hmm. And that we'll be at the high school celebrating with the passing.
Just thinking I had a thank you worship.
Oh, she did, yes.
And it was well attended. Very nice gift to give to all the mentors and all the companies that provided support by offering basically TED Talks for them. And in addition, all the mentors that participated this year had certificates for that. And students had an opportunity to explain what it meant for them and the experience of across the board for all of them. They said it was just an amazing opportunity and really to try to explore some of the possibilities for their future going back.
And we solidified what they
were doing.
I actually thought it was kind of interesting because a couple of the students made comments about how, you know, they kind of went into it thinking that they were interested in one thing, but then as a result of this internship or shadowing, that they realized there was something else, you know, maybe in a similar area or maybe in a totally different area. They were like, you know, I think I'd really like to go that direction. So that was great. And I actually have a neighbor who did one of those intern programs, and so I've heard from his mom, and she could be a poster child for the program. I mean, their family is just thrilled with what it's done for them. So, yeah. Well, thanks for the report. We'll be excited to hear how the students do at DECA and the other ones.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Ms. Mankins, superintendent's report.
I have several things. Some of them are just updates, reminders as well. So, April 10th, we hosted the stadium community meeting and kind of unveiled the project. We had about 100 people in attendance, had positive feedback and response from that. Todd and I have also spent a couple days this week working with Terry, meeting with local businesses on the fundraising side of that. So that is underway. May 19th, reminder of its graduation, 7 o'clock at the stadium. It's going to be beautiful weather. Promise. May 4th is our principal for the day. We started about 2 years ago, so community members, mostly on the business side, come in, spend a few hours with the principal, shadowing them, learning kind of what school's about these days. They come together collectively for a luncheon with me about around 11:30, 12 o'clock, talk about their day. We have reps from small business to large business again this year, so I'm excited to do that again. So if anyone wants to come to lunch, they're welcome on May 4th.
Where do you have the lunch?
At Early College in the Project Lab. May 9th is our first, since I've been here, senior citizen breakfast. Yay. From 8 to 9. We have student performances. We're going to have the robotics team there. Creekview is sending a group over from the choir. And then we're going to have student interns talk about their experience a little bit. Todd and I will give a short kind of state of the schools as well as kind of a unveiling of the stadium project as well. Also on that day, we're having a visit from a member of the state school board come, as well as a rep from ODE. Ashley and Heather and I are presenting in June to the State Board of Education about the work we've been doing around personalized learning. So this is kind of a precursor for a couple of people to see actually what is happening in the district. And also on that day, we're doing a Skype presentation with the superintendent from North Dakota, the state superintendent there, to talk about the work we're doing as well in the district around personalized learning. So that's going to be a kind of a crazy day.
just a little.
May 10th, senior awards, morning and evening. Also, we have, I believe, I want to say six students graduating from Columbus State on May 11th at 10 o'clock from the Early College Building. We also, I believe Tom extended an invitation to all of you about the Global Scholars Luncheon with the high school, so really cool traction with that program as well. I wanted to mention the Ohio High Point Open House earlier this month, with the unveiling of their smart technology. I thought that facility was amazing, and certainly the night was well attended and great stuff. So just another opportunity for our students. We believe some of that will also fold into the auto tech pathway that's starting between the high school and early college high school. So we're excited for that to come around. Wanted to mention the Tri-Academy students did a fundraiser for the Avalon Theater and had pretty good participation, fun night for kids, and well organized, did a great job with that. Chamber dinner, just wanted to thank the Chamber. Mm-hmm. Several of you attended, it was a great night. Again, we were able to display our stadium project at the Chamber dinner as well, so we received some positive traction from that. Also, as a testing update, ELA is now complete, so one down, two more to go. Jonathan and team, the state has actually had some issues that have caused complications on our side, so it's been their issue, but, you know,
right.
we had to work through that. Also, I this time of year try to give you a kindergarten update. We're up about 15 students from last year as far as enrollment, so... we'll continue to monitor that as we do all numbers coming in and making staffing decisions. I think that's all I have.
Phew.
It's quite a list. Sorry.
That was a lot. Okay.
Did you limit my commitment?
Treasurer's report. Mr. Johnson. Probably stand on Todd's shoulders. Where did Adam go? There you go. Okay.
I was watching it get ready to go to standby. I'm like,
that's all right. That just helped build the excitement.
That's right. We're on the edge of our seats, Pat.
Okay, I'm presenting the May 2018 five-year forecast. Really, there's not a lot of breaking news in the forecast. A lot of the same trends continue, but there are a few significant changes that we'll talk about. One of the most important slides in the presentation each year is this slide, as it shows revenues versus expenditures. So the blue line there being revenues. The red line being expenditures, and you can obviously see the trend starting to head in the direction we don't like, where expenditures will start to exceed revenue. The important thing to keep in mind with this particular slide is there's a $6.5 million levy expires December 2019, currently collecting at $2.68 million, but
This slide does not take into account that levy being renewed, so that's going to make that gap grow a little faster where revenue is going to start to dip. It is important to note, though, if that levy were to not be renewed, you'll see here in 2022, we actually have a cash deficit. So, kind of pointing to the importance of kind of the key to avoiding a new money issue, a new millage issue, is to, you know, change that gap. You know, if we don't want that expenditure gap and the revenue gap continuing at that trend. Which, again, we've got the levy resolutions on the agenda tonight to vote on. So this, to me, really points to the importance of the no new millage DI levy that is on the agenda tonight, as that would allow that revenue line to creep up a little bit, which would make that gap a little smaller, which would allow us to extend that ending balance a little bit further, avoiding a new millage levy. This slide here incorporates, it assumes that that levy will be renewed, so that revenue is included in here. The top line there with the dashes, that is our ending cash balance. The good news is it shows a positive ending cash balance throughout the forecast, so it meets one of our important cash balance policies. The bad news is you can kind of see we're at the point where next year we probably level out a little bit. We probably start to hit the other side of the curve within the next year or two, meaning our ending balance starts to probably go down, which is inevitable with school funding the way it's set up. We've really been able to grow a really solid ending cash balance with really three main factors. One, conservative spending. Two, we've been very fortunate with our state revenue increases over the last few years. And three, our public utility personal property tax valuations. The last several years, those have really grew significantly, leading to really large increases in revenue. We're starting to see now, though, I think we're to the point where that revenue is going to level out. Mm-hmm. And on the state revenue side, even probably start to decrease. So, on the revenue side, as always, we're pretty well 50-50 when it comes to state revenues versus local. Looking back to our October forecast, we were pretty well right on our revenue projections. We ended up about $250,000 to the positive. One piece of that was our new construction, residential new construction led to some additional revenue on the real estate tax side. On the state revenue side, on the projections, we're projecting very minimal increases on the per people amount, less than 1%. What we're going to start to see, and why you're going to see if you look in the projected years of the forecast, we're projecting our state revenue to actually start to decrease. The reason for that being, as it's noted on here, we're projecting to be a formula district beginning in fiscal 19. You might remember over the last several years we were popular, we're a cap district, and that meant that the formula said we should be getting more than what we were actually getting. We're finally to the point, starting next year, where we'll likely be a formula district, where what that means is we're getting the exact amount of revenue that the formula says we should get. Bad news if the number of students goes down, our revenues go down, but the good news if the number of students goes up, our revenue goes up. But the piece of that, that's going to most likely drive our revenue down a little bit is what's called the state share index. That basically looks at the relative wealth of the district, and the state's going to look at Marysville as a relatively wealthy district, and they're going to say because of that, your residential taxpayers should be able to pay a little more on the taxpayer side, so we're going to give you a little less on the state side. So as that number climbs, the revenue would start to slightly decrease. One other important point on here to note, that other revenue that only makes up about 2% of the total, but it is a significant number. And one item that is included in there is our open enrollment in. So a few years ago, when we started allowing open enrollment in to help offset some of the revenue we were losing with open enrollment out, that was a nice increase this year. So the number jumped to, we have 65 students now this year who are open enrolling into the district. That's equates to a total of $400,000, which was a $100,000 increase compared to last year. So that's been a nice increase for the district. Looking at our tax values, tax year 2017 values increased by less than 1%, about 0.7%, mainly due to new construction. Really won't see any, shouldn't see any real significant changes in valuation until we get to 2019, when we'll have a reappraisal at that point. We're projecting a 5% increase that year. We're anticipating some decreases in CAU values just based on the legal changes that are taking place and some of the lobbying around those values. An important point on this slide, and again, kind of pointing it back to our levy resolutions, is you'll notice we break it down on here. If you need to read it, it's kind of small. We break it down by residential, class one, class two. So class two being commercial values. You'll notice that our residential values are growing faster than our commercial values. Part of that is due to some of the tax incentives. When a new business comes into Marysville, a lot of times that valuation doesn't hit our tax duplicate, so that doesn't necessarily help our valuation there. But why that's an important point, as we talk about our renewal levy and turning that into a permanent, one of the things I pointed out was the tax burden shift, where our residential taxpayers are only paying 2.6 mils on that levy, whereas our commercial taxpayers are paying, I think it was 4.6, if I remember correctly, so they're paying a much higher rate. So as those residential values continue to increase faster on the residential side versus the commercial, that gap's only going to widen. So our residential tax rate's going to continue to come down some and make it an even bigger disparity for the commercial. So all the more reason we want to keep that levy and we want to make it permanent. Looking at the expenditure side, obviously wages and benefits are going to be our major drivers there. This year, the May forecast compared to October, our actuals are going to be under our projections in every single expenditure line. So that actually is a nice boost to the ending balance of the forecast. The one that's kind of the real driver, you know, we were under by $260,000 in salaries, which is really less than 1%. So in the big picture, we were pretty close. On the benefits side, we had a dental insurance premium holiday that equated to $55,000. We had a workers' comp rebate of $131,000 this year. We just heard some good news as well from the state that they're going to be on another, what they call a billion-dollar back program this summer. So we should be getting another significant workers' comp rebate probably around July. So that was some good news we just received. Purchase service is really the area where we were most significantly under budget. The big drivers there, one is utilities. We were $260,000 under our projections there. I think part of the reasoning there is sometimes we plan for that worst case scenario. I've seen it many times where there's a big change in the electric rate and it just blows up your budget. So the good news is that didn't happen. The other big driver there, which is great news for the district, is that community school deduction. So students who live in Marysville District, they'll choose to attend a community school. That money is deducted out of our foundation revenue and sent to the community school. This year, that expenditure basically decreased by $170,000. So that's great news. It means less of our students are choosing to attend a community school and choosing to stay in Marysville.
Part of that was ECOT. Was that part of
it? A big part of that is ECOT. Right. So with the issues they've had, some of those students have chosen to come back to Marysville.
Mm-hmm.
So So in total, that led to a boost of $1.4 million to our ending cash balance, again, which just helps to make that balance extend further out. One big thing to note on the expenditure side is on the benefits side, and that's what you actually see on my my treasurer items and appropriations. There's a significant increase in there for insurance, for the self-insurance fund. As last year, we had significant claims, just really high claims again. That increase in the budget does not impact the general fund this year. So that doesn't hit the FIDRA forecast. That's only our self-insurance fund. But due to what's happening there, I would anticipate in fiscal year 19 that is going to have an impact on the general fund. Mm-hmm. So that's where the big boost to that ending cash balance kind of gets evened out by, mm-hmm. one, the decrease to state revenue, and two, the large projected increase on the health insurance. And again, I always like to talk about our levy history because it shows how responsible the district has been, where our taxpayers haven't really seen us on the ballot much recently. Since 1998, there's only been one new money levy on the ballot. That was in 2008. So prior to 2008, the last new money levy was in 1998. Back when that one was passed, I believe they said we wouldn't be back on the ballot. I think they said 2016, so now we're well beyond that. In 2018, we're at a decade. And even from my earlier slide there, assuming that we can renew our levy, our 6.56 mil levy, that would get us beyond fiscal year 22. So we would be at a point of almost 15 years for a new levy. That's it. Any questions?
Not right now. I know you, I guess we had the finance committee meeting, and I know, they had a chance to look over all that information as well, and good job explaining things. It's a good story.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. All right, I'll move on to my report. I just wanted to bring up the fact that kind of talk a little bit about our special meeting earlier this month. So we decided this year to hold a separate special meeting just to recognize our Good Apple and Good Apple awardees and other state qualifiers, students that had really done some amazing things. And just wanted to kind of do a shout out to them and say how proud we are of our students and how amazing all of our volunteers are and how much we appreciate everything that they do for our district. I did want to comment that I talked to somebody later, and their son was way in the back, and said they couldn't hear back there, so if we have it in the high school next year, we need microphones. So put that on your notes there, okay? Community coffee, I know you guys had a good turnout, and I don't know if you want to make any comments about the coffee or not. Kind of put you on the spot there, but...
We were at the Fifth Street Cafe a couple Saturdays ago, and we had mostly parents from the district, with a few other people too, and we had a good discussion, and we always welcome people to those. It's a way to interact more informally and really listen to what concerns people have in the district.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, thank you. Let's see, and I wanted to mention the finance committee meeting again, because I know I value the members on that finance committee. I think the majority of those members have been on the committee since I've been on the board and maybe before that, and I know they really put a lot of thought into looking at that information, and I know they all felt that putting that renewal on the ballot as a permanent levy was really the most fiscally responsible path to take for our taxpayers in the district. And, that importance of the fact that 10% rollback is grandfathered in that with our levy right now, and you never know what the state's going to do. So, even though it's grandfathered now, they could change that in the future. So the sooner we can get that permanent and locked in, the savings for our taxpayers, I think that's important. Also, we had a business impact breakfast. The Chamber sponsored a business impact breakfast this morning, and our superintendent was part of the superintendent's forum. Really interesting conversation talking about how the districts in Union County, I think there were five superintendents there, they spoke about workforce development and what our schools are doing to prepare our students for success. It was very well attended. Some people from the state level, as well as many business people were there, and our superintendent did a great job of explaining all the great things we're doing here in Marysville Schools. Also, I don't know if anybody had a chance to go to the Show Choir Community Concert, but it was amazing. We have, our mini swingers were there, our swingers were there. They just had come back from winning a competition in Boston, and we just have some incredible talent. Also had the National Honor Society induction, had a chance to visit Mrs. Roman's first grade class celebrating their learning by showing different ways that they had learned about American symbols. I don't know if they have a little video. I think they were tweeting some things out, but it was very cute. Also, I know Mr. Smith and Ms. Savage and I attended the Chamber Economic Development Summit, where they were just kind of talking about some opportunities that we have here in Union County and the importance of collaborating between the city and the county and the school district. And, again, it's nice. There's a great turnout and a real sense of collaboration there. Also, I know Mr. Smith had talked about how the Early College and Mrs. Cooper had their thank you luncheon for the intern program, and he said how they gave some nice little gifts. And so for the board members who were not able to attend that, I brought your gift tonight.
Thank you.
These were made by the students at the Early College High School. So a nice little personalized business card holders. So, yeah, very nice. Isn't that cute?
Very nice.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's see. And I know, Ms. Mangas, you're talking about all the different presentations that you're going to be doing on May 9th. But I don't think you commented about how you recently went down to South Carolina.
I did not. Ashley and Heather and I went to South Carolina to their state superintendent, similar to North Dakota, mm-hmm. Made personalized learning a statewide initiative.
Right.
And so they've had a cohort of I would call them early innovator schools mm-hmm. that have been trying to work on the work for a year. And we went down as their last meeting mm-hmm. and kind of gave a synopsis of the work that we've been doing, kind of provided a landscape for where the district has been and how we ended up at personalized learning. And then mm-hmm. Ashley and Heather kind of did the nuts and bolts. These are the things we've tried. We allowed them to get into what I would call dummy accounts of mm-hmm. our personalized learning plans and play around with those. And mm-hmm. So we spent 2 days down there. It was very well received. We also mm-hmm. had the opportunity to learn from them as well. So mm-hmm. it was a great opportunity to brag about the great things happening with our teachers here in Marysville.
So. Yeah, well, that's... I know, it makes you proud, doesn't it? Very proud of what everybody is doing here. So, and that just speaks volumes. You've got North Dakota, South Carolina. I mean, that's pretty crazy. So, good job. And now, your calendars, if they've got some open space on them, I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. I know Diane talked about a lot of things coming up. Tomorrow is the Board Leadership Institute, tomorrow and Saturday. Saturday is the Japanese National Honor Society. Brian's attending that. Got something in the mail, FFA. I think I've seen signs out there too. FFA's plant sale starts May 2nd. It's going to be May 2nd and May 5th from 9 to 6, and then May 7th through 12th, 9 to 6. Just the 2nd and the 5th.
Oh, okay.
9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then the 7th through the 12th from 9 to 6. If you've never been to that plant sale, you really should go. There's a lot of great things to buy there, and you're supporting our FFA program and all the work of our students. Yeah, 9 to 6. Mm-hmm. Staff Appreciation Week is coming up, May 7th to the 11th. And if we don't have enough on May 9th, that's also the Early College High School's English Exploration Day, where they're going to have projects sitting out. So if you go to the Senior Citizens Breakfast, make sure you explore the entire building. Let's see. And then I got an email from Mrs. Latham at Creekview. They're going to, they're one of their fifth grade classes, or their fifth grade classes are going to be doing some community service projects on May 18th from 10 in the morning until noon at Edgewood and the Gables. So if you'd like to stop by and see them in action, feel free to do that. And then I just noticed a couple of, on the OSBA briefcases, a couple of professional development opportunities I thought some of you might be interested in. There's Management Development Series number 3 that's about community engagement on May 11th. And then there's a Levy University on May 14th. And it just kind of, it's probably a good refresher that tells you as a board, what are you allowed to do? What's your role in a levy? And again, that's on May 14th. And that's all I have. So now, legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Hey.
Hello.
I sent a report to you, and I'll just highlight a couple of things.
Thank you.
I met with Senator David Burke. We spent 2.5 hours talking to him several weeks ago. And basically, this is kind of a summary of what our conversation, some of the topics, some of the bills, and so forth we talked about. House Bill 343 passed in the House and goes to the Senate and deals with appeals of tax values in the state the county auditor, and expressed that would cause problems for school districts that schools would be required to pass a resolution on each property. And there's, I explained to Senator Burke that there was duplicate notification that the schools would have to notify the Board of Revisions that hears these, has to notify, just that it complicates and adds additional expense to the process. Additionally, it would create a more political environment for something that ought to be as fact-based and as simple as possible by having a public vote on whether or not we would do an appeal change in the property. But I think he, as part of our discussion, I think he came away kind of understanding that there were some issues there for the school districts. We talked about House Bill 342, which eliminates the special elections for school levies in August. And that has passed out of committee with an amendment to reinstate the August elections. There are still some other changes in the bill that create some different problems. We just received, maybe an hour ago, Senate Bill 216 passed out of the Senate. It's called the Public School Deregulation Act, and it covers a whole range of different things. It was well constructed. Initiated by a group of superintendents in Northwestern Ohio who worked with a local senator to kind of make it a little bit more concise. It has a lot of support. It has out of the Senate 33-0, and now that's up to the House. Indicated that bill went through a process that we thought was appropriate. And that it addressed a number of concerns that would help our workers. Again, I've done this previously, House Bill 512 that reorganizes education in the state of Ohio by combining Department of Education, higher education, and Governor's Workforce Development. Fact that just kind of came out of thin air. Nobody knew it was coming. It was coming in the wrong way, the wrong manner, the wrong process. That a number of things have changed that have made public schools more receptive and more connected to workforce development. and that those needed some time to actually accomplish some of the goals, there did not seem to be in that conversation with him a lot of support for this. So while it did pass in the House, my guess at this point, unless there's some significant change, is that it may struggle mightily in the Senate. If anything can happen. I'll mention House Bill 318 in a bit, because that kind of carries over to the Safety Committee. Senate Bill 246, Peggy Lehner is the chair of the Senate Education Committee, and she has impressed me with her thoughtfulness and her inclusiveness in terms of gathering information from superintendents and educators across the state when she looks at things. And she has proposed a bill that I believe is likely to be enacted in law that would address suspensions for K through, I think, K four, I think that's right. The nice piece of this is that not only does the law change, but the bill provides some funding for the education of teachers so that teachers will know how to handle a disruption in their classroom in a way that it doesn't escalate, that suspension is not, you know, the first option that you're going to think of. So not only does it create a law, but it also provides the funding to help that law become effectively imposed. The last thing we spent some time talking about was the Safety Act. We made a list of some of the different things that could be addressed in terms of school safety in light of some of the horrific events that have taken place. And focused really on two. As I sat down to talk with him, anything that we did, I wanted it to be broader in terms of its potential impact, rather than narrowly focused only on the most violent acts. I wanted, if you're going to pass a law, you need to have broad support. And so, if you can get more, for the money spent, I thought that might lend itself. And so I really focused on two things. There is a bill, it was 318, that identifies and creates the position of school resource officer. In the state of Ohio, there is no legal definition for that office, and you cannot fund something unless it exists. And so there is a bill to create school resource officers, and suggested to the Senate for the school resource officers not only provide a trained firearm in the building, but also the school resource officer receives training that lends itself to mentoring. Can help to address drug and alcohol issues. Provides a resource for students to seek out if they have issues in the juvenile court system, the police in general. Again, that's that broad impact of dollars being spent. There seems to be support in the state legislature for moving in that direction. The other thing that I focused on was mental health resources. Again, broad impact, not only in trying to maybe identify and help students that could become very violent, but you also have the issues of alcohol and drugs and teen suicide and just the stresses of parental divorces and other issues in a student's life that create barriers to them being successful in the classroom. In our presentation, months over there, I thought that was well highlighted at the beginning as one of the social emotional focus. You know, students are not mentally prepared to learn. They are going to be extremely ineffective in the classroom. And I think every teacher in our school system, anyone that's ever been a teacher, knows that when students are distracted by whatever's going on in their life, but that's not the case. Senator Burke perked up at that. There is legislation that he is working on that potentially could create additional resources for schools in the mental health area, allowing school districts to pass billing through to Medicaid. And so hopefully something will be done in that area. That's really.
All right. Thank you very much. Safety report, Ms. Powers.
Okay, we have prescription drug back day, or take back day coming up, and it's at three areas. I'm also with Holly, and Jonathan and I are on the board with the Drug Coalition. So I have these up here if anyone is interested in picking those up, that you can take the prescription drugs back. Also with the proms, graduations, and everything, there are cards. What do you throw away when you let your teens drink and the kids' future? So underage drinking does come at a cost. So it just kind of tells about the hopes, the dreams, all get thrown away when we as parents aren't ahead of that game with them. Also, they did a youth risk behavior study and survey with all of our students in all the schools, 7th, 9th, 11th grades. So that's already been done. Now we need to encourage the parents to go online and take the survey. They can go on to the Union County Drug Coalition, the Mental Health, Marysville Moms in the Know, or Marysville's Parents in the Know. And we need to encourage the parents to go on there, because what this is it's perception, okay? Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is gather more data for perception. We can say, well, we perceive that Marysville Schools has a drug problem. Okay, well, that's just perception. We need the input from the parents. We need the input from the kids. And it would only take you about 10 minutes to take the survey online, okay? Then they go through and they put together all the data from the students and the parents, and then look at both ends what that is doing. Another thing we did was compliance checks last week, okay, so to see these areas that are selling to our children. We did 8 to 10 checks at different venues, and everyone passed this last week. And so they are now doing also training for all the things coming up this summer, you know, that the events that we'll have uptown and everything, of the servers, everybody who's going to be up there serving, what they need to do, what they need to watch for, what the limitations are. So moving right along on that, the marijuana date is still holding. We thought maybe it might get backed up, but at this point it's still September that this is supposed to go live. So we're just kind of on standby right now till we see where everything's going to be, where the final area is going to be. So that's it for now.
Thank you. Good reports. Okay, next on our agenda, I need a motion to approve our minutes from our March 22nd regular meeting and our April 12th special meeting. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Any questions, comments, corrections? Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next item. Trying to think. Should we? Yes. I think we're going to do these separately.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So we need a motion first. To approve the resolution declaring it necessary to levy a renewal tax. So this is for our 6.56 renewal. Do I have any motion?
So
motion by Mrs. Powell.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Savage. Comments, questions? You know, we had somebody from the levy committee come in and talk. Mr. Smith and I are also on that levy committee. I know, with this first one, I just kind of went back and did a little bit of research. This levy was originally passed back in 1989, so it's been renewed 5 times. As we just saw in the current 5-year forecast, without this renewal, that we go into deficit spending, we have a cash deficit in 2022. Let's see. It's also just kind of looking up on the ties. I think we have a total of 4 operating levies. The 3 other ones have already been made permanent, one from 1976, one from 1998, and one from 2008. So, again, it's been quite a long time since we've had new money. I appreciated Mr. Weiss's comments about the fact that, you know, we do support our schools, and this is a great way to show that we support our schools. Any other opinions, comments?
I think a couple of things I'd like to say. There's one that our community at one time had a number of renewals, and we were facing the election sometimes too, and multiple issues with renewals coming about. And, you know, that created a lot of work get the vote out, get those either renewed or fortunately, and eventually, they were all made continue. And that's kind of the other thing. The resolution that we're going to vote on says that these levies will be for a continuing period of time. It really doesn't use the word permanent. Mr. Weiss used that. I use that, you know, we tend to think that way. But the resolution really says continuing. And we're going to continue to have students that come forward. We're going to continue to have students that want to be successful in the future, being a good quality education. And so, you know, while I understand that there are people that believe that 5 years is sufficient, as I've looked at it and thought about it and considered that opinion, I really think that for our community and for our school district to continue moving forward, we need to have continuing funding. It bothers me that when we look at a 5-year forecast, that you cannot make the assumption that the levy is going to pass. And so it creates difficulty in planning. If you want to hire additional teachers, if you want to expand your program, if you want to continue to meet the needs of the community and, more importantly, of the kids, not having the ability to count on a continuing stream of funding creates that uncertainty. And so I'm very glad that the resolution is for a continuing period of time. And I certainly hope that the community will support that as they have in the past by making many of the levies that we've had in the past continue.
And just to jump on the continuing support of the school district, as myself as a board member and other board members as we interact with the community, the schools are being asked to do more and more, not less, more guidance counselors, more technical education, more school psychologists for students that are struggling with problems. We've done a good job of using community support to do that, but those needs aren't going away, and those needs do need to be addressed with continual support.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Okay. Then a roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I need a motion to recommend the resolution declaring it necessary to levy a tax. And so this is for the PI levy. Do I have a motion? Motion by Ms. Howard?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Okay, and this is one, this is the one where we know that our bond collection millage is going to be reduced to 2 mils. And so this is going to be a levy on the ballot that would ask for an additional 2 mils for the permanent improvement fund. Those two net to zero, so it's a zero tax increase. No new millage. Pretty much, as Mr. Smith said, you've got three buckets of money, and you're just moving money from one bucket to another, which will allow you to move money that was going into this bucket to our general operating funds that allows us to extend that that cash balance potentially another year. So again, that would, you know, that's going to extend when we need to ask for new money. Any questions or comments?
I applaud our treasurer because I think he initiated this idea.
Yep.
It is rare that a community has an opportunity to solidify their school funding in such a creative way.
Mm-hmm.
These are tax dollars that are already being collected. They're going to pay off buildings. We will continue to be able to get our obligations there. But by shifting from one pot of money to another, we'll be able to further address the needs of the district, the community. We know that things are going to get more expensive in the future, and this will certainly help us to, you know, meet those challenges and do the things that we need to do.
And I would again reiterate that the Finance Committee, I think, felt very good and also kind of agreed with Mr. Smith's comments, you know, just appreciated the fact that you're willing to bring forth a, you know, little different, somewhat complex, but something that makes a lot of sense, very logically thought out. So
I've had conversations with a number of people that had some questions about exactly what we were asking, and draw three buckets or three pots and say, well, you've got 2 mils going here, and what we're going to ask you to do is stop paying these 2 mils over here, start paying it over here, and you explain some of the other things to them, and you sit back and say, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. It does. Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve permanent improvement tax anticipation notes. Do I have a motion on that?
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. And Mr. Johnson, I'm going to let you talk about this a little bit. Again, a little bit of a different thing happening here.
And so this is related to our stadium project. And obviously, you know, we're in the middle of our fundraising push.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's say, you know, even in 3 months from now that we're successful and we've raised $4.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if that were to happen, we're not going to have $4.5 million in cash. We would have $4.5 million in pledges.
Mm-hmm.
So what this what we'd call a loan is almost acts as a line of credit. So even though we've got these pledges, there a lot of them will be coming in over a period of a five-year period. So we're not going to have money all at once. So what this tax anticipation note will allow us to have the money when we need the money, mm-hmm. and then we will use the pledges, the donations as they come in, to pay those off. Mm-hmm. We've sent out RFP to I think at least 10 banks. We included all of our local banks. Mm-hmm. A couple of the important provisions here. You know, one, it's a little confusing. You know, why is this called a tax anticipation note? Well, the reason of that is because that makes it the most secure type of loan that we could be asking for, which means the banks are willing to give us the lowest interest rate compared to some type of commercial loan. Another important issue, as I mentioned, is almost like a line of credit. So it allows me to only pull down the smallest amount possible, the smallest amount that we need. So when we talk to donors, we're trying to get as much money up front as possible, but we're not going to turn down a donor if he says, well, I'd like to spread this out over 5 years. Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But since we don't know what that's going to look like at the end of the day, this will allow the flexibility to pull down just the amount that we need and no more. And finally, it also has the flexibility of an early payoff, because we don't want to, you know, pay as little as possible in interest. So we've got a payoff opportunity at 5 years with no penalty.
Okay. And so let's say you start the stadium project, and if you send bids out and the work is going to start, then you have to have the cash on hand.
Correct. We can't accept bids if we don't actually have the capacity to pay for the project. So this also will allow us to accept those bids when they come in.
Right. And by it saying tax anticipation, that just means that we know we currently have levies out there to collect permanent improvement taxes, and that the amount that you're asking for here represents less than half of what we will receive over the next 10 years, I think.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So that's why it's so secure, and that's why the banks would give a good rate on it. So.
Yep.
Okay. Any questions?
Is this type of pretty common for a project like this?
Well, I've never done a project like this, but I think it is for it's a much cheaper option than trying to pass a bond issue. So if we were building a new school, most commonly you would pass a bond issue. Well, there's a lot of costs involved in passing a bond. Mm-hmm. So this is a much lower cost, a much simpler option. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it is done. I couldn't answer that.
Mm-hmm. But it came from our. I know you work very closely with the tax.
Whenever we do anything with debt, mm-hmm. we work with bond counsel. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's an attorney, right. And we also have a financial advisor that we work with. This mm-hmm. is one of the most prominent financial advisors in the state of Ohio. So this is a coming to this idea is a combination of working with them.
Right. Not that we don't feel like you do a great job. But yeah. Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, last of our board items, I would accept a motion to approve a resolution requesting the Board of Education of Marysville Exempted Village School District to submit to the electors of the Library District of the Marysville Public Library, the question of a replacement of an existing tax for current expenses. I have a motion. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. And I know tonight we do have Lisa Nels, the Executive Director of Marysville Public Library, and I've just asked her if she would like to say a few words and be available in case we have any questions.
Chances to pass the levy, which seems like the responsible thing to do.
since our levy comprises more than half of our levy.
Okay. So this is, it expires the end of 2019?
Correct.
Currently. Okay, gotcha. So same time frame as our renewal, actually. Okay. Any
so
questions?
We're happy to
field
any questions.
I just want to, I know a couple of our schools have recognized our library for a great partnership. I know out at Raymond, they were their business partner, and I know we really appreciate everything that you do. I know that you provide a lot of opportunities for our teachers with resources.
I think that it's important to note that we wouldn't be as well recognized for the summer lunch program without your help, your mm-hmm. staff's help. So mm-hmm. That's been a big deal at our library, mm-hmm. big program. We've got staff members who go out and speak on that a lot.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I just wanted to add that I think that it makes great sense. Mm-hmm. The school and the library are both in the ballot. Both are working for the kids, and hopefully the voters will vote and say, this is how we can address the needs of kids in our community, and we can provide the quality education, instruction, access to information. I know there are a lot of kids that come and study at the school, access computers and technology,
I don't think you need to limit it to kids, though, because a lot of us adults like to go there too and learn. Right? We're lifetime learners. So.
Yeah. We do like to talk about lifetime learning.
Exactly. Right. I mean, because I know you guys just offer a lot of great programs for our community. So. Any other questions? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we'll be out on the campaign trail together, right?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is our treasurer CFO item, so I'll accept a motion to approve the treasurer action items. Motion by Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Second by Ms. Powers? Mr. Johnson, do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
First off, it's not really on the agenda, but just a little pat on the back to, my staff and just the secretaries in the district and the teachers who do student activities and all those mm-hmm. types of things. We mm-hmm. received the State Auditor Award for our 2017 audit, so that was great news.
Excellent. Great job.
As far as the items on the agenda, Conrad already talked about the cash flow. Things are, looking good compared to projections. The big item, and I also already noted this on the appropriations, is a significant increase mm-hmm. to our self-insurance fund due to high claims. Our insurance committee has been meeting and is currently meeting and has future meetings to try to mitigate that as much as possible and in any way possible. But I would say I don't think there's any silver bullet to mm-hmm. really bring it all the way down. So I would anticipate, you'll be hearing more about that in the near future.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Mr. Brown? Nope. Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, we have our superintendent items. So I would accept a motion to approve our superintendent items.
So
moved. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Ms. Mankins.
Sure. We have HR items, several HR items, resignations this month. I don't think any retirements. Resignations, approval of job share. That's something that we've committed to do uh-huh. there as well. You'll see admin and teacher contracts for the upcoming year, as well as volunteers. Also the approval of this following school year's calendar. I know that's been Jonathan and team and team of teachers take mm-hmm. a lot of time on that. So we've talked mm-hmm. about that once before. There's quite a list of overnight trips as well for your approval. Don't have any policy this month or
no policies,
like that,
right?
Little break.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Right. That's right. That's right. It just kind of, I guess legislatively we have to do that or something.
Yes.
Yes, so you non-renew every year and then
yep.
Come fall you'll re-renew or you'll whatever, just renew. Yeah.
That's right. It's only a 1-year commitment.
Right. Yep. Well, I know this is an incredibly busy time of the year for HR with everything going on. So we appreciate what they do. There's no other questions. A roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are up to comments and questions from board members. So we'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
Raven Flower Sales is extremely successful.
Okay.
And they've got some grants in the county for the end of the year. Things are good. I know they're focused on testing. They're finished up. Mm-hmm. Students' eyes are probably starting to glaze over at this point. And also, thank you to the committee for putting together
trying to be brief. First, thank you, Funsold, for mm-hmm. hosting. You guys did a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so impressed. Has a special place in my heart for the middle education group, and you can impact people's lives so much at that particular age. And I wanted to recognize, not by name, but the huge list of volunteers that
yes.
we have continually
mm-hmm.
In this district speaks volumes about the commitment of the community to the schools. Mr. Smith and I will be attending Leadership Institute tomorrow and Saturday. And then we talked about the Council of World Affairs. We have three
Global Scholars.
Three Global Scholars, which is an amazing achievement. It's a 3-year program. They achieved it in 2 years. So these are some movers and shakers
mm-hmm.
into the future. Again, want to invite our senior citizen community to the May 9th breakfast. I think that's a very good chance for the senior citizens to engage and find out what's going on with the schools. And next community coffee is May 12th. It'll be at Fifth Street Cafe. And May 9th, which everything's happening on May 9th
yes.
also, Michelle Newson, she's a New York best-selling author, will be available at the library. So any of us that are book people are excited about these
yes,
nationally recognized authors coming to the town. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who's covering the May 12th coffee yet? Are we just going to kind of check?
I'm definitely covering this
okay.
coffee, and you're out of town, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Man and Amy.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. You're next.
Thank you very much for hosting us. And I have to tell you, as a grandmother, I know, I'll step out of my role here for a minute, going to my grandma role. You have impacted my grandchildren, and you are impacting the ones that are here also. So I was just talking to him last week about Funsold. I said, so what do you think about Funsold? I got good response from all of them. So, so that was awesome.
$20 tomorrow.
Yeah, got good response. So I'm just thrilled that all of my kids have decided to stay here, and
mm-hmm.
what an opportunity that they're getting their children to be here in this district.
Mr. Luke.
Thanks to everyone at Funsold for hosting us and sharing about some of the things going on here.
He's got a nice camp doodle on his paper.
I forgot what's the A again?
Acceptance.
the subject.
Okay, I got to work on that one.
We'll get you to be a little more careful.
But I also like not just the slogan, but also the process that you went through to come up with that. It looks really positive. The only thing I wanted to comment on is we had, there was an event called the National Walkout, which was recently, it was April 20th, and we knew it was coming up. It was not a school-sponsored event. It was a national event that students were putting together to speak up and communicate and commemorate some of the school violence issues that they're thinking about all the time. And it was a little touchy. Some community members had some concerns. The administration had to find a balance between recognizing the students who are organizing this, but also knowing that they're still responsible for those students. Mm-hmm. And I was able to stop by at the event, and so was Nan, and I was very impressed by the students and the administrators and how they handled the whole event. There was a lot of good discussion going on. There were perspectives on both, on multiple sides of the issue. And I think the administrators in particular did a really good job of making sure the students were safe, whatever they decided to do that day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very appreciative of how that went.
Let's go on that. Mr. Johnson?
Nothing for me.
Okay, well, then I also need to thank you. Doing great work here, and I love putting puzzles together, so I can't wait to see it when you have it all done. Okay. And I'm also going to be attending Board Leadership Institute.
Oh, I know.
And yes, and I just kind of want to tag on with the comments that you were making, Brian, because we spoke a little bit before the meeting about the importance of having common ground, because when there are people who disagree, you know, I think it's important to, when you're talking about school violence, I mean, I think that's the common ground. Nobody, everyone wants to see the end of school violence. And so how can we work collaboratively together to come up with some creative ideas? And so, and I agree. I mean, just from the reports I heard, it was handled very well. So I think that's it. How about a motion to adjourn? Motion by Ms. Savage. And Ms. Powers will second. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we are adjourned at 8:43.